My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Play that song, Ben. Play that song. Play that music. It is a football Friday. It's a real football Friday. It's not a preseason football Friday. We love those, too. But this is a football Friday with actual football coming up on Sunday. This is an actual football Friday with football coming up tonight on a Friday.
In Brazil.
Seth, here on Sports Radio 610, baby. And we have football last night, and the season got kicked off in big fashion with a rain delay, a weather delay. But then it was worth the wait because it was a hell of a game. 27-20, the Chiefs beat the Ravens. Man, I'm juiced up for this show, man. I'm fired up. How you feeling?
It feels good. It feels right. I've talked to a few listeners and various people over the last month and who said, you know, I'd never really followed a team through the offseason the way I have this year. Yeah. And it makes sense. I think there was a certain excitement, and there's a certain appeal to both D'Amico and Nick Caserio and all the moves they were making and all of the intrigue around Deshaun that people are
CJ.
What did I say?
Deshaun.
Well, that's true. There's a lot of intrigue around Deshaun.
That one
well.
I wanted to make sure we corrected.
All right, we can't be making these mistakes in week one, Seth.
Well,
damn it.
Week one is the time to make them, you know?
So you're right, yeah. I got to get out of my system. This is my three illegal formations,
right?
Okay, like the Ravens had last night,
yeah.
Where they decided to set an example with the Ravens and the Ravens alone. They let the Chiefs pretty much damn near get away with murder before they would finally call. Anyway, a lot of people are really just, I think, brimming with more excitement about this Texans team than they have in a long, long time, if ever.
Yeah.
So it's hard not to get excited and screw up a bunch of names and, I don't know, maybe punch your neighbor if you're angry. You got a lot of bottled up energy right now.
You do. And we're ready because it's literally been a couple of weeks since a football game. You know, the preseason, they give you this 2-week hiatus where there's nothing right before the season. So, yeah, we got a lot of pent up stuff going on right now. So we'll get to the Texans. That game last night was a lot of fun, man. Ravens and Chiefs, the rematch, I thought lived up to the hype. There was a little sloppiness in the game, as you pointed out. The refs were a little selective in trying to, I guess this might be a point of emphasis, how the tackles are lining up now, it would appear.
Well, it was the same thing last year. Yeah. They started off, you know, and it honestly, I realize this too. This is something that pretty much defensive linemen get irate and livid about it.
Yeah.
Because the offensive tackles are allowed to line up deeper than they should be, which gives them a big advantage. And nobody wants to see this flag or anything. It's like J.J. Watt, me, and John Grenard are out there on Twitter, like, thanking the football gods
you
that they're actually calling it.
I was so happy for
meanwhile,
you
everybody else is like, this is screw you, Goodell. Who the hell cares? Like, yeah, and I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, I know. If it's meaningless, if it doesn't give them an advantage, then just go ahead up and line up at the line of scrimmage where you're supposed to.
Okay.
It's a big deal. But then they do. Like, Juwan Taylor is one of the worst in the league. They let him get away with murder with it, where they flagged the Ravens on their opening drive three times for it.
Yeah.
And that part was getting extra frustrating for everybody, whether they care about the rule or not.
Yeah, that just goes to show the filter that shows up on my social media feed. It was you and JJ tweeting about how awesome this is that they're calling this now. I'm like, this must be a point of emphasis. this is flooding my timeline with Seth and JJ. Yeah.
It happened last year at the beginning of the year, too, and I think it was Juwan Taylor that they actually nabbed for it a couple times. But it's just, he's the most penalized player in the league. Laremy Tunsil, maybe, just be careful, I guess, if it's going to do anything at all. Laremy's going to have a whole bunch of false. Juwan Taylor gets away with leaving like a half step early before the snap.
Yeah.
Routinely. He gets flagged for it every now and then. It's disgusting. Laremy does the same thing, not to as bad a degree, but he gets nabbed for it every
I saw
now
a
then.
Lot of that. Like, hey, Laremy, are you watching the game? Just keep an eye on this for
they don't have there. They don't have the sack to actually keep up with enforcing it.
No, probably not. So I guess my question, if you missed the game last night, 27-20 the final score. The Ravens were down 27-17 late in the fourth quarter. They kick a field goal to make it 27-20. Defense gets a stop. They get the ball back with 2 minutes to go. And Lamar Jackson drives them down the field. Unfortunately, they had already coughed up two of their timeouts on defense earlier in the half. So they only had one timeout to work with. But they were able to get into position to at least run three plays down inside or at the 20-yard line of the Chiefs. Lamar Jackson misses the one they're going to want to have back isn't the play that got overturned at the end, the Isaiah Likely touchdown. Lamar Jackson made a spectacular play, and Isaiah Likely made a spectacular catch, their young tight end, in the back of the end zone that was initially called a touchdown. Upon review, he hit a toe on a blade of grass on the white, and it got overturned, and that was it. Game set match. The Ravens were going to go for two to try to win the game. That would have been super exciting to see what would have happened there.
Yeah.
So we were deprived of that because the play was just barely out of bounds. The play before that is the one Lamar Jackson is going to want to have back. Zay Flowers was wide open in the end zone. Nobody near him, wide open in the back of the end zone, and Lamar Jackson just sailed it. He missed him. He just missed him on the play. Otherwise, they're going for two on that play.
There was, it wasn't initially intended for Flowers. He saw Rashad Bateman breaking free, and there were so many things in that game where, you know, initially you're thinking, okay, well, boy, they're doing the same thing they did last year, where it looks like they just forgot that Lamar Jackson can run, and why are they doing this versus the Chiefs? But Lamar Jackson did end up running 16 times in the game.
Yeah.
And part of it is that the Chiefs defense, hats off to Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, even though he gets away with calling timeouts that he's not allowed to call and everything else that's annoying about the Chiefs in that game, where it felt like the officials were totally on their side. Those defensive backs, including one Justin Reed, the one man who was brave enough to stand up to David Culley once upon a time. Justin Reed and those defensive backs, they were just demons. Yeah. I mean, they'd come up, and anything that the Ravens tried to do out in the flat or with any of the short passing game, they just completely snuffed it out. And the Chiefs will they'll load up the box versus Lamar and play single high safety and stuff that other teams are scared to do, but they do a good enough job at that it it makes it hard to run, even for Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
And they can do it because they're really good. They're really good. At this point, the only hope the Ravens really have, I think, is if they hire Steve Spagnuolo to replace John Harbaugh at the end of this year. Right? Just go ahead and hire the enemy. Get him over here.
Yeah.
Because you guys are not getting over that hump. Although, you were very close to getting over the hump at the end of the game.
They were close to getting it over the hump last year. They turned the ball over twice in the red zone last year.
I'm kind of arguing against myself as I say it because I got to remind myself. The Ravens have played...
dead even.
There were 805 yards of offense in this game. I think the Ravens had more offense than the Chiefs. It was it was impressive offensively, and in a lot of regards, the Chiefs were just a little bit more dialed in and had a lot more help from the officials.
It was a super entertaining game. Like, the bottom line, if you didn't have a dog in the fight, it was a fun game to watch, especially in the fourth quarter, watching Lamar Jackson do his thing. This is my question, I guess, Seth. Like, this is what I care about as a Texans fan. From what you saw last night, are the Texans on the level of those two teams this year? If you plunk the Texans down for one of those two teams in the game last night, is it a nip and tuck game going down to the end here where they stand toe to toe with these guys? Because those are the two teams that are ahead of them on the odds board right now in the AFC.
Okay, if we look at the Texans versus the Ravens, since that's the one we've seen most recently.
Yep.
I think that just as Mahomes was kind of able to take advantage of the Ravens linebackers and pass coverage a good amount, I think the Texans very much have the ability to do that this year. I think when you look at the Texans versus either of these teams and how will the offensive line hold up to really good defensive linemen, there's reasons for concern, but there's also, I mean, if you look at the Ravens offensive line, that is a work in progress
right there.
Going up against some of the best defensive linemen in the league, the most notably Chris Jones. Chris Jones had his way with those guys at times, but when you have a really good quarterback, he can make up for it. You know, even the look. One of the reasons the Chiefs won that game was because Lamar Jackson was strip sacked. I don't want to do this because I like Lamar Jackson and I thought he played pretty well. Like, he doesn't have to get strip sacked there.
Right.
I mean, that was a little bit of a lack of awareness. For a guy that's got really good pocket awareness, mobility and everything, he kind of put it up like he was doing the Statue of Liberty play.
Yeah.
And that ended up being a field goal for the Chiefs. So I think, if anything, in a weird way, it made me feel better that the Ravens have their offensive line issues and yet they were able to move the ball. I think with a few different twists of fate, and the Ravens could have scored a couple more touchdowns in that game.
Ultimately, whether the Texans can hang with them right now is relevant, but it's not as relevant as it could be because they don't play these teams until week, 16 and 17 this year? They don't play until Christmas time.
I kind of made a joke early in the game because people were gushing about how fast Lamar Jackson looked because he was so skinny. I don't know. Fat Lamar did just fine against the Texans last year. But if skinny Lamar ends up being a better version of Lamar, I would remind everybody, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve.
Good call, sir.
Three big-time eating holidays. There's a very good chance that he's 20 pounds heavier. But this is just the way it goes in the NFL.
Yep.
It's hard sometimes. People, I'll tell you what, Sean. When you're an NFL player, you can afford all the candy you want. People give it to you. People give it to you. You don't even have to go trick-or-treating.
Especially at Christmas time. They play the Ravens on Christmas Day. The Texans do a really good job of feeding the media at the games, like up in the press box.
Yeah.
We get cake pops and cookies and candy and an ice cream bar and a carving station and everything else that makes all the listeners hate us right now as media members. The Texans give us those things. Do the exact same thing in the Ravens locker room for that Christmas game. Specifically in front of Lamar Jackson's locker.
Have a Christmas feast out for breakfast right there.
Yes.
It's kind of a... Yeah,
the big cake pop station. Put it right there, Lamar Jackson's locker. Just hundreds of cake pops.
You don't want nothing that, but somehow make it with no carbs whatsoever. Like nothing that'll actually might enhance their performance pre-exercise. Just a whole lot of really heavy fat laden stuff.
There you go.
That you don't need in your belly before. I completely joke about that because obviously it's cool that he lost weight and everything. Like, Fat Lamar has won a couple of MVPs.
Yes.
I'm jokingly calling him Fat Lamar because he just, whatever. I think that him being skinny, if he ends up running as much as he did, and he actually dished out a couple hits in that game.
Yeah.
I do wonder I would worry for his physical safety over the course of a season.
Well, he can't run it 16 times a game. Yeah, he can't do that every week. Yeah. He can't do that every week.
You got to have a separate Chiefs game plan maybe where he does run a lot, but he's going to have to dial it back.
Yeah, it's a pitch count, man. Like, you got to, okay, we only need to put Fromber out there for 6 innings against the, you know, whoever, the crappy teams. Same thing with Lamar and the carries. All right, we're off and running. Football Friday, man. It's here. Week 1 is here. Let's get into it. 6-pack for the Texans. 6 things to watch for the game against the Colts on Sunday. Man, it's on. And we've got some fun facts here about the Texans as well that we'll get to. We'll get to the Astros, too, and headlines a little later on this hour. Stay there. You're listening to Payne and Pendergast.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Yeah, we're really excited about this week. We're excited to prepare for the Colts' big-time matchup for us. So we're really looking forward to it. Had a really good day of work today. Our first one prepping for the Colts. So excited about, you know, all of our guys are out there, available, working. Excited about the work that we put in today.
As D'Amico Ryans, he's excited for week one. We're excited for week one. Hopefully you're excited for week one. Noon kickoff Sunday, Texans and Colts here on Sports Radio 610. 9 o'clock, Texans countdown. That'll be me and Seth getting you ready for the game. Very excited, Seth. I would contend that this And I don't think I'm being hyperbolic or off base here. The first goal every year is to win the division. I know the goal is to win the Super Bowl, but I know a lot of coaches look at it first like, hey, let's eat what's on our plate in the division, win that, and then the chips fall where they may when you get to the postseason. In terms of winning the division, and thus to me, maybe in terms of doing what you want to accomplish this year, this empirically is the most important game on the schedule. I know the Chiefs and the Ravens are bigger marquee value. I know they're going to play some primetime games against the Cowboys and the Lions and the Jets back to back to back later this season. But I feel stronger the Colts are the second best team in this division. You win the game at their place, as you have done each of the last 2 years. And I don't know what the win probabilities are and the percentages. I just know that you win this game, and it really enhances your chances of accomplishing that goal of winning the division.
You know, the pregame show last night, that NBC pregame show is by far my least favorite studio show in all of football.
Yeah.
But Rodney Harrison and Tony Dungy were sitting there talking about at some point, I was just half listening, but it was some situation where if the Patriots lost, they were going to have to go play in Indianapolis in that environment, and how they didn't want to do that, which I really wasn't buying. But I was kind of thinking like, I don't think the Texans are all that scared of that environment.
No.
They went in there in what amounted to a playoff game last year and shut those stupid, pasty-faced Indianapolisans. They shut them down.
Early.
So it was that incredibly loud fan base up there and everything, playing in their little tin can of a stadium. It was no big deal. So I do like the notion of C.J. Stroud going up and just owning that stadium.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Me too. So let's get to the matchups in this game here, the six pack. Ben, do we still have our little thing where I open a can of something in there? Do we still have that? The little sound effect? Yeah. Okay. Can number one. And I know this is one that's going to be high on your list, Seth, because for you coming into the preseason, the interior of the Texans offensive line was a major concern. And hopefully they alleviated some of your concerns throughout training camp, but this is, if we're kind of stack ranking the interiors of the defensive line they're going to go against this year, this one's pretty high up the board with DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart. This is a big matchup on Sunday.
If you really want to be the team that you're capable of being, it's one of the huge questions is how are you going to do versus stout front sevens? I would extend that back to the linebackers. The Colts, they don't necessarily try to fool you a whole bunch. They might change. Maybe Gus Bradley, the defensive coordinator, changes some things this year. But they just line up and they play good, fundamentally sound physical football on defense. And those interior defensive linemen are really good. The thing about the Texans in the run game, Bobby Slowick talked about it yesterday where he wasn't making excuses, but he said he felt like they didn't really have a lot of continuity on the offensive line during training camp. Which, I mean, that basically amounts to, Laramie Tunsil didn't practice.
Correct.
I'm looking around, and I'm like, all right, I know, the right side guys took a day off here or there, but for the most part, it was Laramie Tunsil didn't practice. So that doesn't make me feel a whole lot better about the interior offensive line. I'm optimistic about both Drew Scruggs and Kenyon Green in the long term, but it's really a matter of, all right, now you've got continuity, it's week one, and I don't need them to shut down DeForest Buckner and Grover Stewart, but those two guys are one of the best tandems in the NFL. If you're running this scheme properly, you don't have to manhandle people.
Yeah.
You just got to be technically sound, get your head in the right spot as an offensive lineman, and wheel on guys or push them where they're going to begin with, and just be crisp with it, and you can take advantage of that when you have a back like Joe Mixon. So That's really, I'm not sitting here in my mind hoping to see them drive DeForest Buckner back into Zaire Franklin's lap or anything. Right. They just got to be on time and precise with their responsibilities. In pass protection, I'm not as worried about it, Sean. This is where I'm getting kind of cocky. We can talk about it when we get into some of these other matchups. But there's something about this team that I'm not worried about the pass protection.
Okay.
At all.
Okay. Well, let's get to number two. Number two, yeah, thank you, Ben. Thank you, Barkeep. I'm just excited to watch this one because you're excited to watch this one, I know. Laramie Tunsil against Leatu Latu, the rookie defensive end.
Yeah, so one of our listeners yesterday said he bet an over-under on how many times I say Leatu Latu today. And I don't know if he was... I don't know if he thinks I'm too fixated on this or if he just thinks I like saying Leatu Latu. But Leatu Latu, I love this kid as a prospect just because you can. He's got a good story that he, it was basically barred from playing football because of a neck condition. He doctor shopped around until he found a doctor at UCLA that would let him play. So he went, and in the meantime, he was like, when he wasn't able to play, he and his defensive line coach sat down. They studied James Harden to incorporate a Euro step into his move, into his pass rush arsenal. And he's very, very polished, and the kid has worked his butt off. But he's not necessarily all that scary of an athlete. He lines up on the right side of their defensive line. He's going to go against Laremy Tunsil. And I think that this will be very much a Laremy Tunsil giving Leatu Latu a welcome to the NFL education and NFL pass rushing. Yeah, I like Latu as a prospect. I despise him and I hate him and I wish everything bad upon him now that he's a Colt. But I am intrigued to watch this matchup and to hopefully see. Yeah, look, Laremy Tunsil was never full go during training camp. I hope Laremy Tunsil is, you know, sharpened on his game.
Yeah.
I don't want this to be a reminder to Laremy Tunsil. They're like, hey, you're not quite there yet.
That's right. That's right. Which brings us to number three in the six pack, which is if they are able to pass protect, this is the fun part. Unleashing hell on the Achilles heel of the Colts defense. These three receivers going, and Dalton Schultz, going against this defense, specifically this secondary, I cannot wait for this. I am so excited about this.
I don't know how they consume their sports talk up in Indianapolis. No. Probably like Sports Talk Telegram or something. A bunch of laggards up there. But I would imagine that there's a lot of conversation about this. Looking around at their young defensive backfield and thinking, what the hell are we going to do about this? Are we just going to sit back? And I think they're going to play conservative coverages. The Colts, again, maybe this will change. They don't blitz a lot at all. They're very safe. They had a lot of sacks. They had a weird dynamic where they had a lot of sacks, but not necessarily a whole lot of quarterback pressures. They got lucky a little bit. This is why I don't worry about the pass protection, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
With the Texans' receiving weapons, they can put Nico Collins in the backfield to be an extra blocker and be just fine. You can have seven-man protection. Keep Nico Collins at the tight end position to help chip a defensive end before you take off in pass protection. There's going to be guys open. So I think that Bobby Slowick can do anything and everything he needs to do to help out those interior offensive linemen early on in the game. And there's still going to be opportunities downfield.
Yeah.
We'll get into the Anthony Richardson matchup. There's things about him that make me nervous. But when it comes into just turning this thing into a shootout, I think this could be a really fun game.
Yes.
They could really, really unleash hell in this one.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. Last one on the offensive side for the Texans. This is Joe Mixon's debut. I'm intrigued by that. I am equally intrigued by who gets the 7 or 8 or 9 carries that are not Joe Mixon carries in this game. Is it going to be Damian Pierce, who is listed on the depth chart at number 2? Or is it going to be Cam Akers, whose performance in training camp would dictate that he's probably the one who deserves the second running back carries? I'm very interested to see who's active for the game. Maybe they're both active for the game. I don't know. Again, the running back position not named Joe Mixon has a vast window as to what we could see on Sunday against the Colts.
Usually last year the Texans would go into the game with 3 running backs active.
Mm-hmm.
Remember one time it was Mike Boone. Dario Gumboale wasn't active early in the season. It was Mike Boone. One of the active running backs, it might not be Dario Gumboale. I feel like somehow people have established him as a fixture in a special team's absolute need or whatever.
It was the kicking stuff last year that did it for him.
Yeah.
The emergency
kicker. I'm going to be intrigued to see if British Brooks is active.
Mm-hmm.
So there's Cam Akers or Damian Pierce, but then also, all right, is one of those guys inactive, but British Brooks is active, and they're going to try to use him as a fullback and see how he can do? What's the over-under? If you had to guess, let's say it's even odds or whatever, who do you put money on being active in the game if only Cam Akers or Damian Pierce was active?
I'm going to say Cam Akers. I'm going to say ultimately, you can't treat this like these carries in these games don't matter. You cannot have a guy working out his kinks on the road at Indy in week one. And that's what Damian is doing right now. He's, in their eyes, some people probably view him as he's done. He can't play in this system. At worst case, the Texans view him as somebody who's still working through a lot of things. You can't work through things against the Colts in Indy in week one.
I think, so Carson Steele is the rookie, I think undrafted free agent. Yeah. Running back for the Chiefs, and early on in the game, I wanted to see Carson Steele.
You wanted to see him bad
in the preseason. It was fun to watch. He kind of mimics Pacheco's running style, but it's a fun name to say. And they did put him in the game early. He got some carries later on, but they put him in the game and they kind of had him split out wide.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, for the Texans, if they were to use one of their backup running backs, Cam Akers, when he splits up wide, stresses the defense more so than Damian.
And Damian, no doubt. Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's get these last two and let's flip it over to the defensive side for the Texans. Anthony Richardson, I'll say versus D'Amico Ryans. Here was D'Amico earlier this week on prepping for Anthony Richardson.
As we prepare, right, it's... We look at everything. Right? We look at everything. No, Richardson had a sample size of plays, not many. So still a young player in this league, still has a lot ahead of him. All right, a lot of ball ahead of him. But we just go off of what we see. That's all we can do. Focus on what we've seen on tape, and try to work from there.
Okay, if I put myself in the offensive coordinator or head coach's position of a team that has a running back with incredible athletic ability.
Do you mean a quarterback or a runner?
What did I say?
You said running back.
Son of a... Dang it, man.
They have a good one of those, too. That's why I wasn't sure. Yeah.
Get your head in the game, Seth. No, thank you. Thank you, Sean. Quarterback. It's... Man, you got to make this devil's compromise every single game. Yeah. Of, all right, long term, I can't be running this guy so much because he's going to get injured. Like Lamar Jackson last night. I mean, there's people saying he needs to run more, and I kind of agree with them, but he ran the ball 16 times in that game. You can't do that for the entire season.
No.
And I think Shane Steichen right now is thinking that same thing. I think the thing about Shane Steichen, the coach and offensive coordinator for the Colts, as opposed to like Todd Monken for the Ravens, I think Steichen is brilliant in the RPO game. Mm-hmm. Those guys, with Gardner Minshew as the quarterback, they executed it really well. And you use the threat of the quarterback run without actually having to subject him to that much abuse. That's the biggest thing. The RPO game, when the linebackers just have to wait on making their decision on whether they're in coverage or coming up and filling. It burned the Texans last year. It's a weird thing to say, but honestly, in this game, really, the linebackers are the key to whether or not Anthony Richardson really eats, I think. Just, do they not get exposed by the RPO game? And then other than that, just play your responsibilities, all 11. And Anthony Richardson's going to get his yardage in the run game, but you just can't let it be a 25-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, and that leads into the last one here in the six-pack. Number six is, I feel strongly you got to make Anthony Richardson beat you with his arm, win first and second down, all those cliches. If they do decide, Seth, maybe to stack the box a little bit and they're leaving their corners out on islands here, Stingley is perfectly equipped to handle that. This is Kamari Lassiter's debut. Is he going against Michael Pittman Jr. at times? Is it Alec Pierce? Is it his former teammate, A.D. Mitchell, who started out at Georgia, ended up at Texas? Kamari Lassiter in his debut versus whoever is a really intriguing thing for me.
Yeah.
On defense.
Yeah. And again, this comes back to Shane Steichen too. So I really, Shane Steichen is kind of my coaching version of Leatu Latu, really intrigued, liked them, was excited about these guys until they become Colts. And now I could care less if they get scurvy. Just please. It's probably still a thing up in Indianapolis. Not big into their fruits and vegetables, obviously.
Scurvy, beriberi disease, everything.
Yeah, so Shane Steichen is going to scheme up some stuff for Kamari Lassiter, and I'm here for it. I'm excited about it. I'm very much in that mode of, yeah, man, test him. Go ahead, test him. Let's see what we've got.
Yeah.
And Kamari Lassiter is thinking the same thing.
Yes. Oh, hell yeah, he is. Hell yeah, because they ain't attacking.
Test me. Somebody challenge me.
Wear a headband that says test me, Kamari Lassiter.
I bet Lassiter was kind of PO'd after the Giants preseason game. You know, that he probably went into that game thinking like, oh yeah, they're going to test me. Let's go. Let's do this. Dude, you know, and then they didn't.
You didn't even know he was out there. I mean, like, yeah. they didn't even go his direction. All right, let's.
Yeah, that is a criticism of him. He just didn't even get the opportunity.
Didn't get to. Yeah. All right, let's get to headlines. We haven't touched on the Astros yet, so let's do that. We'll get to the Stros. Bad week so far in Cincinnati against the Reds. We'll get to that. We'll get to the NFL. If you missed it last night, we'll get you all up to speed on Thursday Night Football and a whole lot more in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, today's headlines. We'll start with the Astros. We've not touched on the Astros yet. The Reds sweep the Astros with a 1-0 win yesterday. Hunter Brown was awesome. Again, 6 shutout innings. The only run of the game, a solo home run given up by Brian Abreu. I believe to our arch nemesis, Ty Francis, who hit that home run, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right about that, Seth? Did he hit the bomb yesterday against the Stros? Old Ty France? I'll check. But the Astros, they lose 1-0. Reds sweep them. That's 9 in a row now the Reds have beat the Astros, going back to a series in 2019. So, bad news, but they're back home this weekend for the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah, that's
who, by the way, are the hottest team in baseball right now.
Right. Which is, honestly, okay. I mean, there's just, it's one of the weirdest and hardest things to figure out with this baseball team is who the hell are they? I wish I knew better what Spencer Arrighetti was. I wish I had a better feel about the rotating cast of minor leaguers in the infield, the actual major leaguers in the outfield, Kyle Tucker and his non-broken leg and whatever the hell it looks like for him. I mean, we're coming up. We're in uncharted territory with Kyle Tucker coming back from an injury that's put him out for this long and affected him so deeply. So in him getting his timing back, et cetera, I wish I could be as cocky as hell and just say, oh, yeah, the Astros will figure it out. Man, this is as dicey as it's been in September. Even though I don't fear for the playoffs right now, I fear for just exactly what kind of a team is it when it enters the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, because it was dicier last September. They were in danger of not making the postseason going into the final weekend of the year. But yeah, in a weird way, I felt like at least I knew what we had last year, and they ended up winning 90 games. Yeah, this year, the Tucker thing is a big variable, and it was France who hit the home run yesterday. The Tucker thing is a big variable. They are saying now, like, it might be this weekend, you know, so they're getting a little more specific with things here. So when we come in on Monday, Seth, there's a chance that we are discussing actual Kyle Tucker at-bats in Major League Baseball games.
Yeah.
That would be big.
It's strange. I'm trying to decipher exactly how the Astros are talking about an injury situation or what have you. It gets dicey. But, yeah, Kyle Tucker coming in and just hitting a couple of bombs. All I'd ask for is like a first pitch home run, maybe. That's all I'd like to see.
That's all.
Can you do this for me, Kyle Tucker? You've had time to rest. Maybe study the pitchers that you're going to potentially be facing. Maybe you could just do that against your old buddy Brent Strom. Okay.
The noteworthy things from yesterday's game: Joe Espada got ejected on one of the worst upholdings of a call that I've seen in any sport on replay ever. They called a foul ball on Alex Bregman, kind of check swing, and they said he fouled the ball off. It was so clear on replay. It missed his bat by like 3 inches and scraped his jersey. He should have been on first base. He ends up striking out, and it looked like they ejected Bregman at first. Bregman turned around like, you're ejecting me? Because he was walking away after the strikeout. No, they ejected. Espada must have still been chirping from the dugout, and they ejected Joe Espada. That was horrible.
It was 3 inches away from the bat. And I don't even know what the excuse for the umpire is. It's that you didn't hear, because the ball, it's not like the ball hit a bone or something. It would have sounded like it was hitting a bat. And however the rules are that you could overturn, because the call was a foul ball, but you can't overturn a check swing. It was asinine. It was just horrible, horrible baseball.
The problem was they went to New York and New York screwed it up. You know, they reviewed it on replay and New York screwed it up.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. There's some intricacy of the replay and what you're allowed to overturn and everything that made it more annoying. But it's astounding to me that baseball screws up replays routinely as it does. Yeah. It's the simplest sport. Of all the sports, Like, baseball and tennis should be the sports that it's so easy because there are clear cut lines and it's a tiny ball that with a hard ball with edges that hits. Baseball, you disgust me sometimes. Yeah.
Diamondbacks in town tonight. Framber on the mound against the D-backs tonight at Minute Maid Park. So see you out there. Texans Colts on Sunday. We broke that one down. We'll continue to break it down here at the top of the hour. The Texans, Seth, the Texans, fun fact here, trying to uphold a current 8-game winning streak in road division games. This is one of the more remarkable. This is even more remarkable to me than the Bill O'Brien being 24-1 in games he leads at the half or whatever it was for a while till the Texans stunk. The Texans have won 8 straight division road games. This goes back to when David Culley was the head coach. It's one of the, I know it's not a great division, but it's one of the weirdest anomalies that I've ever seen that kind of flies under the radar a little bit.
I don't know. It feels like in every game packet there's something like this where there's weird stuff like this all over the place. It's just usually not in a relevant statistical category.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can go, if you go looking for it, you're going to find a bunch of stuff like this. It doesn't make me feel like, yeah, Texans have owned this division on the road. Although, no, what it does do is it does make it fun when you think about what the emotions of that fan base has been.
Yeah.
So it's, but I don't think that's clear and present in the minds of a lot of fan bases. Like, oh no, yeah, oh boy, here they come again.
No.
They're wrecking the division's home. The fun ones are like the streak, various streaks the Texans have had against the Jaguars. The fact that the fun streak for me is, you want to talk about fan misery, the Colts have not had a victory in their last 10 regular season openers, including a tie versus the Texans.
Yep.
So they are 0-9-1 in all of those openers. They've just basically used it like a preseason game, apparently.
I guess so.
And the potential to make the Colts fans extra miserable and aware of that fact. Colts fans are very aware of that fact. That makes it that much more enticing, especially since the last time all those Jamokes showed up to a football stadium to watch an NFL game, they watched the Texans shut them down.
They did.
With great emphaticism.
With great emphaticism on a dropped fourth down pass late in the fourth quarter that might have won the game ultimately for the Colts if he
catches
it.
Yeah, they got shut down, Sean. It was emphatic.
I think you're going to be more impressed with this streak when I tell you in the 7 o'clock hour what a $100 parlay would have paid if you had bet the Texans on the money line in all 8 of these games.
Oh, yeah, back when you were examining the money lines for consecutive road victories in the division.
I'm not saying I should have won this money. I'm just going to tell you it tells you what the odds are of something like this happening. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
It's pretty remarkable. I'm not sitting there going, no, I wish I put $100 on an open parlay for the next 3 years in 2021. That's not what I'm saying. The Thursday night football game last night, Chiefs 27, Ravens 20. So we get the season started. This was a game that very easily could have gone the other way. The Ravens drove down at the end of the game. Lamar Jackson missed a wide open Zay Flowers with about 10 seconds to go in the game. The Ravens had the ball at about the 20-yard line of the Chiefs. And then on the final play of regulation, Lamar Jackson scrambles, hits Isaiah Likely in the back of the end zone. Touchdown, Ravens. They're going to go for 2. They're going to go for the win. Love the mentality there by John Harbaugh. But wait. They review it, and Isaiah Likely had about as small a fragment of the back line of the end zone as I've seen an overturn. I mean, it was so close. And the Chiefs end up escaping 27-20 last night in a very entertaining opening to the Thursday night schedule.
Lamar Jackson says he still thinks it was a touchdown. I don't understand. I mean, some people were arguing that maybe by the curve of the shoe, the tip of the
it wasn't touching
wasn't,
the line.
Wasn't touching. Like, all right, is that where we are? Under standard definition television, they probably would have upheld the call, but unfortunately, we live in an age of 4K.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's digital.
And they made the correct overturn.
Yep. Yep. So,
He also, by the way, he was trying to, he was actually targeting Rashad Bateman. And it wasn't intended for Zay Flowers. The miss to Flowers.
Okay. Well, that explains why he missed so badly then. I mean, Zay Flowers was all alone.
It's weird. I would have kept that explanation in my pocket. I would have just said like, yeah. Oh no, I missed way worse than you thought I did.
Right.
It wasn't even a bad throw to Flowers. It was a really bad throw to Bateman.
To Bateman, yeah. Packers and Eagles tonight in Brazil. You can hear that game right here on Sports Radio 610. Our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, tracing the trash talk. A lot of trash talk been going on between C.J. Stroud and various Indianapolis Colts. At least they're construing it in India's trash talk. I don't know. We'll take a listen to it. We'll go through the lineage here, the chronology of the trash talk between these two teams. That's coming up next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.